This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Hi, I'm Jill Rappaport, and welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. I hope you're all getting ready for a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I have a very special day planned. I am going back to the shelter that I'm on the board of, Southampton Animal Shelter. You've heard me talk about my beloved Oscar Mayer. I lost him in September, my little doxy. That was the last dog that I rescued from Southampton Animal Shelter. He was 8 years young. He changed my life forever, and my heart has been broken ever since I said goodbye to him in September. I also had Ruby, my other beloved doxy, who I lost during COVID. And there's something about those doxies that touch your heart in a way that is so special. I have so many rescue dogs, all shapes and sizes, but the doxies are fearless leaders. Nothing frightens them. And the love that they give back to you is just so addicting and so heartwarming that I can still feel the kisses of both those dogs every day. So needless to say, every time I go into Southampton Animal Shelter, because I do a campaign there called Home for the Holidays, where I highlight the underdogs, the seniors, the bully breeds, and the special needs, and we've got 98% of them adopted. And these are the hardest to adopt animals, as I say, the patient pets, the lifers that have been sitting there for most of their lives. And thank goodness these videos that I've done have made a difference to get them a forever home. But every time I walk into the shelter, it's a running joke because I say to the front desk, "Hey, any red mini dachshunds come in today?" And they all laugh and say, "No, Jill, no red mini doxies." Well, wouldn't you know, I walked in last week and I said, "Hey, any red mini doxies?" Gave me the same answer, no. So I continued on filming, did 5 videos, had some meetings with some people. While I was there, the lovely Ashley Bloom, and says, "You will not believe it. Someone showed up with this little senior boy who was found wandering in the woods, no microchip, no collar, just wandering around near the highway in the woods, and they brought him to us. And I looked at his face. He's very old. It's snow white. He was literally so happy just to be sitting in a bed. He must have been traveling on those little legs for days. Heaven only knows. And he was sleeping and could barely move his head. And I said, you know what? Let's post him. Let's give everybody a chance to know he's here. Hopefully his pet parent is going to come and get him. They must be heartbroken. We waited 6 days. Not one person, nobody claimed him. His pet parents, whoever they were, gone. And it just broke my heart. So what do you think I'm doing today? I am going to pick up this little boy who, by the way, when I said, how is he? What's his health? What's his approximate age? Because the wonderful vet there, Terry Meekins, had to do a medical workup on him. They basically told me that they found that he has severe dental disease, a grade 2-3 heart murmur, cataracts, and a large prostate. His skin is yeasty. And oh yeah, he probably has severe hearing loss. I said, when can I get him? And I am so excited to pick him up. He's anywhere from 13, 14, 15 years of age. But all I can tell you, I've seen it happen before. When you give these dogs a chance, when you take them in the most horrific situations, I have seen them thrive and live out their lives and live to have the most incredible lives, way past the expectation. I've seen it happen so many times that I don't look at the age anymore. And that's what I want to tell all of you. I pray, I hope when he gets here, he gets along with my pack. And I pray that he has many, many years. But whatever time this little boy has, it's going to be with love, caring, attention, and a beautiful life that we're going to give him for whatever days, months, and hopefully years that he has. And on a final note, because Oscar Mayer was named after hot dog, obviously. I thought, in honor of Oscar Mayer, we have to follow that route. And I thought, what would be a cute hot dog name? So this little boy is going to be called Nathan Rappaport, as in Nathan's hot dogs. And I decided to give him a middle name. He's going to be called Nathan Detroit Rappaport, because I'm from Detroit, and in honor of Guys and Dolls. I love entertainment, so I mixed in a little bit of everything I do, where I'm from, the hot dog legacy, and in honor of my last doxy I lost, Oscar Mayer, Nathan Rappaport is going to be picked up today, and we cannot wait to get him home, and I cannot wait to smother that little white face with kisses and love. Okay, well, on that note, I'd like to talk about our guest coming up. I'm very excited about her. We've never really done a person that has a job quite like this. She is an amazing journalist and writer focusing on her love of horses. Her name is L.A. Berry, and she's part of this incredible campaign called Seen Through Horses, which kicked off in May, and I've been part of it, and I've been supporting it since its inception. It's amazing what this organization, what this campaign does to bring awareness to horses and people who love them and how they change our lives. So when we come back, L.A. Berry, and I'll probably talk a little bit more about Nathan Detroit Rappaport. Stay tuned.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Joe Rappaport. Very excited for my guest today, journalist and equestrian L.A. Berry. Now, L.A. is a fellow New Yorker and Horses for Mental Health ambassador. It's an amazing campaign that I've been part of. And she's here to chat about her lifelong passion and connection to horses and Seen Through Horses campaign. An amazing social media campaign by Horses for Mental Health that runs through the month of May during Mental Health Awareness Month. And it supports 95 nonprofits around the country, incorporating horses into their personal growth and mental health programs. I'm so thrilled to have you here, LA. I know this is so near and dear to your heart. Oh, I wish our audience can see this beautiful, energetic face that you have, a smile that is just magical. LA, I'm so happy to have you here.
Jill, I am so happy to be here. You and I have actually been neighbors in the digital hemispheres for years.
Exactly.
We're both Hampton Classic horse show girls. So I'm very, very sure that our bridle paths intersect in a dozen different ways.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Hampton Classic. I go every year to cover Adoption Day because, as I joke with my fellow pals, animal advocates Georgina Bloomberg, Breanne Guttall, Jessica Springsteen, I said the only thing I've ever jumped are the ropes of the Ralph Lauren sample sale. I am not an equestrian in that sense at all, but I go to support Adoption Day. We have horses and dogs and cats, amazing animals up for adoption. So that's my role. But, you know, I do love to watch. And we should talk about, first of all, this campaign, the fact that this is airing, that we're putting this out there today, this is so significant because of Memorial Day weekend, right?
Horses for Mental Health and the Seen Through Horses campaign could not pick a better time. Mental health awareness this month, and now we're coming into the Memorial Day weekend, and I have seen firsthand the kind of magic that happens in a restorative, emotional, and physical sense between veterans and horses. Those who have served us can find open, willing partners in four-legged friends.
Exactly.
Horses really do have a heart that is large enough that there are studies that suggest that the magnetic waves off of their big heart literally attuned to ours, that we become heart-to-heart synchronized. It's one of the beliefs of a good friend of mine, Linda Tellington Jones. You know, so this veterans, this holiday weekend, go out and horse around. It literally does a world of good.
All over my horses every day. And I'm always hugging and kissing them. And I'm going to give them extra hugs and kisses in honor of this campaign, the whole idea of it and what horses give back to us. And you're talking about the veterans, but I know firsthand, just for me, the support and the love and the connection. When you have a bond with your horse, and those who are fortunate enough to be surrounded by horses, we know that bond, don't we, LA?
We know that bond because horse girls don't have fingernails. Between that and grooming with the shedding blade, getting out of the winter and into the spring, forget about it. That and gardening, you can know a horsewoman by her nails.
Oh, exactly. And the muck boots too, right?
Yes. Yes. But, you know, with the Hampton Classic, too, I think we share a connection. One of the participants this year has been Lauren Reicher, and she was one of the Long Island Riders titleists back in, I think, 2015. I interviewed her for Horse Illustrated magazine. She's an incredible story. Her dad, Saul, was on the board for Gallop New York City, and Lauren was born with cerebral palsy. Her legs were so tightly bound together. It's called the mermaid syndrome. And her legs did not open until her dad took her to a therapeutic riding camp. She got on this humongous Clydesdale. And she said it was like her body woke up and said, yes, I know what to do. And maybe she was about 5 years old.
Miracle.
Boom. Her legs for the first time said, yes, I want to be on this horse. And 20 years later, she was on the Brown University equestrian team, and she was champion at Hampton Classic.
Unbelievable story.
Unbelievable.
And one that you would be surprised has happened over and over again for different people in different situations where horses have brought them back to life, literally. I want to talk about you, LA, and where this love began for you as a child, your first saddlebred. Tell us about that story.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I thought about sending the picture because really my first horse was Fufoy, a plastic squeaky Palomino. And there's a photo of me at 18 months old on my mom's couch. And I've got this Palomino in my lap that's almost as big as I am. But from there, when I was 9 and in the 4-H Horse Club, one of the young women in it was aging out of 4-H, and she was getting married and moving to Germany. And she had a Palomino that I presume was at least part saddlebred, because the American saddlebred was really popular in television and movie production in the 50s and 60s. Roy Rogers' Trigger was a saddlebred.
Right.
My Palomino was named Trigger.
And I have such a love of Palominos. The first horse I ever rode at 6 years old at Outland Riding Stables in Michigan was a Palomino named Pal. And I had my beloved Sundance, a gorgeous golden Palomino. So I share that connection with you.
Well, I'm a sucker for those yellow horses.
Yes, me too.
Trigger was my first one. And by being in 4-H, I was the secretary, so I had to take notes at the meetings. Now, my dad had been a news writer for the Coast Guard, so he had the job of taking me to the 4-H club meetings in the evening, and he decided that to make the suggestion, since I'm taking these notes, since there's this educational information that's being shared, why not put it in a form that could be presented to the county newspaper? So we went and we talked to the editor, and he thought it was a great idea, and recommended maybe I put some funny little quip or a factoid at the end. So by the time I was about 12, 13 years old, I had my own byline. And I've been doomed ever since.
Unbelievable. First of all, I think Winnie's a big fan of yours. She's one of my dogs barking in the background. Please excuse the noise. The minute I start talking about Palomino, she chimed in, Winnie! Winnie, mommy's trying to do a podcast!
I closed the door. I'm expecting my rescue Tom to want to push it open and come in. I'm expecting that scratch, scratch, scratch sound any moment now.
Forgive me. I hope it's not distracting. But you know, when you're on this show, you're going to hear animals because I'm surrounded by them and so are my guests. But that's an amazing story, how you got into the business, how this horse changed your life. And I've never known somebody who's focused their whole career around horses, just in the writing and everything about it. Tell me what it does for you, how it feeds your soul.
Well, it feeds my soul. To begin, the horse industry contributes, I think off the top of my head right now, is about $21 billion a year to the gross domestic product. That, in its height, was more than tobacco, lumber, and the movie industries combined.
Oh, wow.
It's there. And there are so many amazing different branches of this niche. So I grew up watching the Olympics. And then I, like I said, I had Trigger. I had a buckskin. Again, I like those yellow and dun horses.
You love those light horses. Yep.
I had a buckskin named Mia Valentine that my parents gave me on Valentine's Day. So she was the first horse I learned to train. And then I have to thank my combined degrees at SUNY Albany in journalism and then equine business management at Johnson & Wales, which was a hospitality and culinary school. Trust me, if you were in the equine department, all you ever heard were jokes about, so are they teaching you to cook horses?
Oh, no. Oh, I can't even go there. I'm a vegan. Don't even get me started.
It got me into working for the U.S. equestrian team. I ran media at the Olympics. I've had the privilege as a horse-crazy little girl to literally work with my heroes, horses and human. I've even gotten to copyright for Breyer. I mean, I've got 300 horses. We can see a few of them on my shoulder.
Oh, I have my Breyer horses.
But I've worked with some amazing people. I worked on the Elvis Presley collection.
Oh, wow. So how unbelievable. You know, it's so funny. We talk about our love of the light horses, the Palominos, the buckskins. The cover of my book, People We Know Horses They Love, Robert Redford, and he's on Charm, his gorgeous Palomino. There is something about the Palomino and the Roy Rogers, the whole feeling. Christy Brinkley and I talk about this all the time, too. That was her favorite horse, and she was obsessed with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Dale Evans had a buckskin,
Buttermilk.
I believe. Buttermilk, right?
Yep.
And so just they're magical, beautiful animals. I love all horses, but it's so funny how we share that connection and how you turned it, your passion, into your life's work and your oxygen.
Well, it's magical because as a child of the 60s, I'm sure it resonates for both of us what the feminist movement, what the pursuit of equality has meant to our country. And Olympic equestrian sport is one of the very few. Oh, I used to know it off the top of my head when I worked for the team. I think it's archery and crew are the other two, where men and women compete equally. Not only men and women, but there is no age division. I can remember, I think it was the Beijing Olympics, there was a Japanese dressage rider who was in his 70s, and he's competing against young women who are in their 20s. The horse has always been such an amazing equalizer. And that, I think, has been one of its most compelling aspects that made it a great place to have a niche to ride in, is because the horse sees everybody equally all the time. It's such a great environment.
Well, for you, not only is it your career, but you're also a huge animal advocate and you appreciate them for what they give back and how much they can help us as human beings with our life. They really are just a life force that changes us in so many ways. I know for me, I covered and did a horrific story about the horse racing industry where we went upstate where 86 horses were living off rainwater and wood fencing for protein to live. Literally, they were retired racehorses that were dumped and left to die. And I did this expose and we ended up saving over 65 of them. Sadly, many didn't make it, but the majority did. And my report, it was a two-part story on the Today Show, we showed where they went on to find loving homes. It's very hard for me. I can't support the horse racing industry. I can't even watch those races. I know everybody's with the mint juleps and the hats at the Kentucky Derby, but I look at it differently. Do you ever wrestle with that? Because some of the side of the business that's not animal welfare is very tough to deal with.
Enormously so. When I stepped in the 1990s to the equestrian teams, publicity offices. It was just as Sports Illustrated was breaking the blood money scandal about show jumping and dressage horses being murdered for their insurance money, and how they hired a guy they nicknamed the Sandman, who would go into the barns at night with a car battery and hook one end to the rectum and the other end to the ear. And it would make the horse look as if it had unfortunately had a heart attack.
Oh, I can't even listen to this. So it must be very difficult for you because it's your job to write about the world of horses, but I would imagine you're conflicted at times.
I'm never conflicted because I always stand on the side of righteousness. I make different organizations get very conflicted over me.
Good for you.
Without naming names, I have to confess that just last week, I motivated one international organization to do a late night, last minute Zoom with both its marketing and legal departments over an article I was writing about sport horse abuse.
Good for you. I know you've taken a strong stand, but because you do cover the whole sport, have you ever done a story that afterwards, LA, you thought, wow, I wish I didn't cover that or give any press or any attention to it?
Not a story per se, but for a number of years, I subcontracted with another publicity, equestrian publicity service in Florida that picked up a rider, a dressage rider from Colombia, whose videos have become quite notorious. He became a U.S. citizen and he competed in the Pan American Games, but he's got some horrific training methods that have since come out. And I look back on a couple of those years of doing his press releases after a show. And yes, you know, feeling like you want to take a shower. So I've purged my files of that. The equestrian legal system will handle him as it may. But most of the time, like I said, I can always look at my own face in the mirror in the morning and answer to myself. I live right here outside of Saratoga. I've written for Saratoga Today's magazine for almost 10 years, but I can still find both the positive aspects, and I think I've been in the sport long enough to make recommendations that I hope we'll help see the sport grow. Certainly holistically we have. The very fact that we recognize the horse's place with veterans, that's a huge, huge surge in our right. industry is the therapeutic and veterans support side of it. We now have a wonderful cartoon representative, and actually she was on the campaign too, a good friend of mine, Jean Abernathy, who created and illustrated Fergus the Horse. Now, we have Fergus in our life now. We're breaking down more barriers. Another participant who I introduced to this campaign, because I just interviewed him, is an NFL football player with the Miami Dolphins, Farrell Brown. Farrell Brown loves working equitation and dressage, and he owns a four-year-old Friesian. These are fabulous things that I don't think we would have had to talk about 30 or 40 years ago. So having people write about it, bring it to the public, I've always felt my goal is to sort of play that bridge between the horse industry and the people who want to be around horses. So I'm still optimistic. I'm more optimistic than ashamed, but the horse business does still need to do better and do right more often.
Well, that is a wonderful and important message to end this interview on. And thanks to people like you, L.A. Berry, you are making a difference for these steeds in need. And we need more people like you to do this because we're their voice.
They see us better than we can see ourselves. And that's why Seen Through Horses campaign, We've hit $300,000. The month isn't over yet. Like John D. Rockefeller said, never be ashamed to ask for money for something you believe in. So give. Give to the Horses for Mental Health. Give to this campaign.
And this is the final weekend, kicking off this wonderful, heartfelt weekend with just a beautiful message from you. And I am so happy to have finally met you. And let's see each other at the Hampton Classic. I will be there. Adoption Day. Let's hang out. What do you say?
If Georgie throws another great brunch, absolutely.
As in Georgina Bloomberg?
Yes,
is that who you're referring to?
Georgina has enjoyed my press box at Longines on the island, Governor's Island, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, we go back to.
Well, you are fabulous. This is a joy and the perfect interview, the perfect subject for the holiday weekend. We hope everybody has a safe, wonderful time. If you're blessed enough, like LA and I are, to be around these majestic, beautiful creatures, big and small, give them an extra hug and kiss this weekend. And thank you all for joining us on this special Memorial Day edition of Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.